I'm going to go buy a fight stick now. I'll be back.
Man, don't do that.
See?
Is that, is that Tony's sound effect where I'm going, bro? It's morning radio now.
Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 374 of the Nintendoki podcast for Monday, August 7th, 2017. I'm your host, Tony. Joining me as he does every week, we got Shelby.
So, a couple weeks ago, I found myself in my favorite donut shop.
And, it's a good place to be.
Went in to get my favorite donut from said donut shop. They didn't have any. A little disappointed, you know. Maybe should have called ahead or something, I don't know. So I got a bear claw instead, you know, a reasonable substitute instead of the cherry cake donut that I had my heart set on. But I made a discovery with this bear claw, and maybe you can verify. Are bear claws naturally supposed to have an apple filling in them? Because this one did.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I did a little research, and then I just typed it into Google and like just read, like, I didn't click on anything. I just read kind of like the excerpts that show up under the search results. And saw something that said apple filling, so I don't know, maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's the standard bear claw has apple filling. If only I would not be so lazy and actually look into these things instead of just asking people that probably don't know either.
Yeah, my standard go-to donut is a chocolate cake donut, so I don't get into the exotic donuts. And if it has filling in it, I'm done. No.
Really? You don't like a jelly donut or like a fruit pie, Hostess fruit pie thing or something like that?
No.
Okay. I mean, I can understand that. You know, you don't know what's in there until you bite into it. That's a little. If I bite into a maple long john and all of a sudden hit cream, I'm gonna be a little. I'm gonna go like, whoa! I was not expecting this.
Yeah, I don't like surprises when it comes to donuts. Just give me a chocolate cake donut, icing or none, it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
And I'll eat it.
All right, well, good to know.
What about you, Micah?
We already
know. My favorite donut?
It's well documented at this point.
That's true.
I feel like we've talked about that. Chocolate Cruller.
You want to own a donut shop, so.
Yep.
Cruller? Cruller? Did we ever come to a consensus on that one?
I don't know that we ever did. I always call them Crullers.
I think it's Cruller.
Cruller.
It is Cruller. That's what Google says. All right.
There you go.
The man would know. It's his favorite donut. So
I don't know, but I think it's Cruller.
Well, I pushed a little button here to talk. That may have showed up on the recording. I don't know. I probably did. Didn't. You didn't hear it, but
like the robot said so?
Yeah.
Hmm. No, you're right.
Apparently, it's also called a twister, which that's new to me. Again, I'm just reading the excerpts under the search results without actually clicking on any of them.
I tried my luck at another Daylight Donut here in town and asked them if they have Crullers, and he was like, yeah, these over here. I was like, no, I guess I'm referring to French Crullers. So I guess there is kind of a hard, crispy, more cake-like version, but I always see those referred to as old-fashioned donuts, the kinds that kind of look like UFOs.
I mean, I don't know what you mean.
I don't either. Ethan, do you have any idea what he's talking about?
Nope.
Also, you said Cruller and then Cruller, like, simultaneously. Like, you said We're confusing ourselves.
He's just covering all his bases.
I mean,
I was speaking to him because he corrected me and said, Crullers? I was like, whatever. Old-fashioned donut. Image search. What comes up?
Okay. A really old donut.
Ah, it's from the Dutch word kruller, from krullen to curl. Oh.
The French word what?
Dutch word. Cruller, Dutch spelled word. With a K. Cruller, Cruller, from crawling to curl. Whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, etymology of words is actually kind of awesome.
I asked a French teacher one time, how do you pronounce this French donut that looks like cruller? And she said cruller.
You said cruller or cruller?
I said cruller. Dang it. Dang it.
Did the French teacher say all that? Or?
I think it's cruller.
Google says cruller. We're going to go with that.
Okay. If you image search old-fashioned donut, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Right, about croquembouche.
This is what they refer to as a cruller, but this is not what I'm talking about. French crullers are what I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so the old-fashioned donut, that's what I would have called a cruller for the longest time. So now that explains why I had that mistake, because apparently there is a fine line between the two of them.
So maybe Midwest America calls that a cruller or cruller. But no, no.
Okay, here's what we do. We're going to call these old-fashioned donuts crawlers.
That way you don't
have to worry. And the French ones, crullers. No. Now we know.
Oh, that's way more confusing.
Solves everyone's problem.
Those old-fashioned
donuts. All fixed. Nothing wrong is possibly going to come from this. Everyone's happy.
I'm just trying to sit here and imagine how you would make a pumpkin pie donut.
No, that's a do not.
I mean, it'd basically be like banana bread, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I have to think about that
one. I mean, Heather and I can...
Just Google it, man.
Heather and I could probably work out something.
Probably.
Tony, have you had one of these? A French cruller? A chocolate?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Where did you have it?
In my lifetime, I have had one.
Okay. I almost brought Dunkin' Donuts to Tulsa just to have a lifetime supply of these. Yeah. Luckily, someone else did it for me. But...
Wait, there's a Dunkin' Donuts now?
They're coming.
Okay.
There's like four opening. Okay. There's like four opening, I think, by the end of the year.
Well, we're going to have to...
And that's on the menu.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure something out there, because I've never had one. I remember when we were in Oklahoma City and you got them at Dunkin' Donuts that first time, or at least what I think was the first time, you were like, this is amazing. You should try this. I'm not giving you any of mine, but you should try it at some point. I'm like, okay, well...
Did I buy all of their stock?
I think probably. I didn't go into the donut store with you because I'm like, I'm on a diet. Going in a donut store, well, awesome. You know, I'm trying not
probably
to
a bad idea.
Yeah, probably. Of course, this whole story started with me like on my way to the donut store. So
that might have been the first time I'd had them at a Dunkin' Donuts.
I think it was, yeah, because you got two and you're like, oh, these are amazing.
I'm waiting for Krispy Kreme to leave East Tulsa and come to the West. Except I'm not like in West Tulsa anymore. I'm actually closer to East Tulsa now.
Not a fan.
I'm just looking at pictures of donuts now. This is a bad idea.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. Look at some donuts. Get it all out of our system.
Oh God, these are maple glazed crullers.
Cruller.
No, I'm looking at the old fashioned ones. They're called crullers. We decided this.
No, those are just old fashioned donuts.
Oh, all right, we're gonna take a break, and Ethan and I are gonna come back.
Then we'll call them donuts.
Talk about some video games. Okay, Ethan, what have you been playing this week?
Doom.
Or is that what you've been playing, or are you just predicting Doom?
I played Doom.
Oh, okay.
On PC.
Didn't you get it for free or something?
No, I bought it.
Oh.
I haven't played anything else, so there we go.
Did you beat it?
You need the merch?
No, I'm like five levels in.
That's all you accomplished in a week?
I play like one level a day, and then like the next day I have to go back and find all the secrets and collectibles I missed.
How many monster closets have you opened?
I thought you said monster claw, which I thought was another donut, because I'm still looking at pictures of donuts.
That's what they call the bear claw around Halloween.
You know how long it took me to realize munchkins are what some people call donut holes? Like, I figured this out a couple months ago.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I thought munchkins were those little people from The Wizard of Oz.
Me too. Maybe I'm wrong now still. Let me type in munchkins into this donut Google image search here. Munchkins may be a... I don't know how to spell munchkin.
Anything about Doom you want to talk about, Ethan?
I'm just getting a bunch of card game results.
The collectibles on there are interesting, since you're collecting Doom minifigures. Or something. They look like Funko Pop things.
Really?
Munchkins is like a Dunkin' Donuts thing for donut holes. So there we go. Now we know. And they don't look like Funko Pops at all. Because I like Munchkins. Funko Pops, not so much.
What if they made a Funko Pop shaped donut?
Now see, here's the thing with Funko Pops. Like, I understand. Like, you want to hear my two cents about why I don't like Funko Pops. you should listen to my toy podcast. It'll never happen because I'm not going to submit everyone to that here right now. Because some people like Funko Pops. You know what? That's fine. Not it's me. Donuts, on the other hand.
How many Funko Pops did you collect this week, Ethan?
Yes.
Good answer.
The five levels I've played, I've gotten like all of them.
I got no beef with Funko Pop. I just don't like the eyes. I mean, that's
kind of weird looking, aren't they?
That's kind of the beginning and end of that. I'm not going to sit here and go on a 20-minute rant about how Funko Pops are terrible, like kind of similar to the YouTube video I watched about some dude complaining about Project Diva DX physical version. We'll get to that later.
If I'm going to collect like figures, I'd much rather have like a Nendoroid than a Funko, but they're so much more expensive.
Yeah. Nendoroids are posable, though. Funko Pops, I don't think, have any movable joints.
Do their heads so either?
Their heads wiggle.
I don't know. I've never actually touched one.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Not all. Yeah, not all the time. Sometimes they have bobble, you know, to the head.
To Funko Pops.
Nendoroid Funko Pop.
To Funko Pops' credit, though, they get a lot of licenses. So, like, you know, if you want to collect a bunch of things that are in unified art style, you know, that's a good way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there are Funko Pops for every IP except Nintendo ones.
Is this just a glazed turkey with sprinkles on it? How did that show up in a donuts church?
Ew.
Yeah, it kind of looks disgusting. This looks like hair over here, too. I don't know what that is. I'm just going to keep scrolling.
It's going to be interesting to see how many random donut things pop into the show today.
I should stop looking at pictures of donuts while Ethan's telling us about Doom.
What else about Doom?
No, that's about it. That's all I've done, going back, getting collectibles, and then carrying it on.
All right, so you ready for the merchant? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. Well, yeah.
What are you buying?
Oh, wow. I'm not used to hearing that in the show.
Yeah, production value, right? Yeah. Right. Gone for 3 weeks. Oddly enough, the best audio quality of all the podcasts while I was gone were the one where Shannon was talking out loud to no one. How did that happen? How was that the best audio quality out of all the podcasts? You guys...
That was a new computer being used to record.
I understand you had a new computer. Takes a while to work out the kinks. I get that. But like Tony's sending me text messages, like it sounds like the show was recorded in a wind tunnel. Like you guys are a little too dependent on me, maybe. Maybe you guys need to learn how to do this podcast thing on your own when I'm not around.
If I got better internet, I could solve all those problems.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, you know, future, we need to future proof this show because there's going to be some times where like, yo, I got stuff to do. Anyway.
Okay. So the notes say I didn't buy anything, which is totally true. So instead of boring you with buying nothing, I'll bore you with a story.
Okay.
So today.
Bore you longer.
Yeah. There you go. So today I went to AmiCon, Amarillo Comic Convention, or whatever you want to call it.
I'll call it AmiCon.
I mean, AmiCon is kind of that, the thing, yeah.
So my whole purpose for going was I wanted to get to meet Patrick Rothfuss.
Who's that?
I think so. He's a writer. I know him from Penny Arcade's D&D Acquisitions. Acquisitions Inc. Yeah, that thing.
Oh, that Patrick. Yeah, okay. That guy's funny on those. Yari. He's funny on those Ack Inc. podcasts.
Yeah, he's great, man. So, yeah, I got to see him today. We got there 10:30-ish? Maybe 11? I don't know. Anyway, it was like an hour before, hour and a half or so before people started lining up so they could go and get their books or whatever signed by him. Well, I don't own a book that he wrote, so instead I took a player's handbook from D&D 5th edition.
That's cool. That's a cool thing to get him to sign.
Yeah, I kind of asked beforehand. I was like, hey, is that right if I get this signed? I know he didn't write it, but no, I guess it's fine.
I mean, if you're paying
had to explain the situation.
I mean, if you're paying somebody to sign something, I would imagine they would sign just about anything you want.
True, but this was just a book signing. That's all he was doing.
I got you. Okay. No, that's cool. Yeah, it's a good thing to ask ahead.
Yeah. So I spent like another hour, 15 minutes in line trying to get up there to get the signature.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
That's a line.
Yeah, I got the signature. At one point, I kind of told him, like, yeah, I was going to get a printout of your VRE character sheet and have you sign that, but couldn't find an official one. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. And so I remembered I could get a AFL official one. But I said, I don't know how you'd react to that, so I didn't do it. He's like, yeah, good call.
Did he harass you for not buying his book?
No, he was happy to sign.
Classy guy. Way to go. Good job. I may have taken a dig at you if I was in that situation, but also I'm illiterate and can't write books, so don't worry about it.
He was even nice enough to sign on the actual black pages that are, when you open it, there's a black page in front and end area.
Yeah.
And used a silver Sharpie.
Nice.
Yeah, that was cool. And then after that, we left.
And they're, scene.
They're place where they sell everything at the vendor room, I guess.
Yeah, that's usually what they call a place where you sell things.
Yeah, I was lost on the word for a moment. There was just,
you nailed it.
Like, there really wasn't anything worth buying in there. It was small, kind of cramped. And
see, here's the problem with most vendor rooms at cons, and I've only ever went to Tokyo and Tulsa, so my experience is rather limited, but I realized at some point that I've already imported everything that I want, and those vendor rooms don't really offer a lot to me, other than maybe the toys that I want that I just haven't got yet. But, you know, I'm not going to pay $124 for a Figma that costs $50 online.
Yeah, but this was also the big difference. Tokyo and Tulsa would have stuff I'd want to buy, but I'm not going to pay the stupid amount for it. Mm-hmm. Versus this one where it's, they have nothing I want at all.
Okay, well, that happened.
So, yeah, that's all that really happened today.
Okay.
All right. Micah?
I spent a lot of time in VR.
Really?
A lot of time.
Oh, that's right. I did a VR thing, too.
Well, too bad it's not your segment anymore. You missed it.
Exactly what I did. So
nope. I spent a lot of time in VR, and not the same way Ethan did.
Well, we'll never know what Ethan did now.
Excellent. Let's keep it that way.
Yep. His segment is over.
For good reason.
Close the book. Seal the door. Just edit him out. Here we go.
What did you do in VR?
If I edit him out, it'll be like that show where it's just Shannon talking to no one. We don't need that again.
Yeah, I know how to edit myself out.
That's fine. To answer your question, Tony, I got epilepsy.
That doesn't sound before. Like a good thing.
Well, it was really fun getting it.
Wait, really?
I played a game called Polybius. Now, normally, you know, when you fire up a game, you get a warning about people that maybe are prone to epileptic seizures or that, you know, you might still be on the lookout because some game could trigger it. Well, this game just says, I'm warning you that you will get epilepsy after you play this. So that was nice of them. Polybius is a game recently put out on PlayStation VR. It is made by Jeff Mintor. If you guys know him, he is famous for Tempest 2000 and Space Giraffe and a lot of games like that. Very trippy space shooters that certainly have an old retro vibe to them. Seem to be inspired by old vector graphic arcade games. Polybius, I guess the story behind this is that Polybius was... it's kind of an urban legend. There was an old arcade game in the early 80s that I guess the government put around in arcades strategically, I guess to data mine the machines and see what people were maybe more resilient to certain types of visual imagery. I'm not sure the full urban legend. The gaming historian did a good video on YouTube about it, but I don't remember what their motive was for doing it. Most of the video was just trying to debunk whether or not it actually exists. So I guess take that for what you will. But so it was kind of cool to see this game, I suppose, finally come to light. I don't even know how to explain this, man. It's kind of like Tempest on a tube, sort of. Shelby, you've seen this. You might help me describe it.
No, I mean, your nailing is over.
Okay, it's a very simple line art, you know, just very basic colors. Think of like the simplicity of something like Tempest or Asteroids or something, but I have never felt a game move this fast. I mean, this is like faster than F-Zero GX, AX, Super Monkey Ball. Like, this has a just breakneck speed to it, especially when you're in VR and it's just enveloping your entire vision. It was a quite the experience, man.
The video I've seen of it seemed unplayable at the speed it was going at. So, yeah.
I actually felt exhausted afterwards. I mean, I'm sure my eyes were exhausted taking in that many frames. It runs at something ridiculous, like 240 frames. So your brain, I suppose, is trying to process this. As far as gameplay, it's pretty simple. I mean, you just hold down a fire button and shoot objects and try to go through different, portals, different, archways, kind of like a slalom type game sort of deal. I was in it for the visual experience, and I've liked all the other games that Jeff Minter has done. I forget the name of his company. What is the name of that company?
No idea.
I want to know. That's going to bother me. LlamaSoft, that's it. Anyway, so I wanted to check that out, because big fan of everything they've done. Shelby said I'd like it. I kind of knew the urban legend about it, but I finally decided to take the plunge. Another game I picked up on PlayStation VR is called Mortal Blitz. This is a Korean sci-fi dual-wielding shooting game. And it has a pretty cool hook to it, to where with the push of a button, either one of your arms can turn into kind of this electric lightning bolt whip. And after you shoot an enemy or stun him, you can grab him, throw him up in the air, and then kind of like in a bullet time motion, you can just keep shooting him up while they're in your air and get combos and bonuses. I guess kind of like Bullet Storm.
Sounds like Bullet Storm, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Maybe a little more elegant, not as intensely violent, but it's cool. It does a pretty good job of letting you bounce around the environment. It's teleporting mechanic is one of the better ones. It's one of the better ones I've seen. And you get pretty physical in the game, because you really are able to duck behind cover and things like that, too. You're not pushing a button and jumping out behind a barrel like you would in Time Crisis or something like that. You actually are ducking and raising your head to take cover. So I thought that was pretty cool. I do like that game and would recommend it if somebody wants a pretty intense shooting gallery on PSVR. I played a whole bunch of other stuff on PlayStation VR. I'm just going to rapid fire these. These were all free. I finally got around to playing that Spider-Man Homecoming VR. That thing's like 10 minutes. Thank goodness it's free, because there's really not a lot to it. It just starts out. I mean, it makes that Ghostbusters game look deep in comparison.
Very true.
You played the Spider-Man one too, Ethan?
No, we're not talking to Ethan anymore. We can't talk about what he played.
So you start out, you know, putting on the Spider-Man mask, and you have a couple different web shooter modes that your suit is able to cycle through, and it just kind of starts out as a very simple shooting gallery. And then after that, there's maybe like two or three scenes where you swing, but they don't want you to get intensely motion sick. So they put this intense vignette around the display so that your field of vision is really small, kind of like you're looking through a keyhole or something.
Spider-Man swinging through the air with a kaleidoscope on his face.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. Like you tape a Pringles can to your face and you're looking through that.
Yeah. You gotta hone that spider sense somehow, I guess.
It's free. If you like Spider-Man and PSVR, I don't know why you wouldn't try it, so you don't need me to go on about it. Another free thing was Air Force Special Ops Nightfall. This is a Air Force.
Like three different video games. What the heck?
Kind of. I couldn't beat very many levels to unlock all the different things in it, but the stuff that I started out playing, it's like paratrooper training. You pick if you want to be like a strategy class or a medical class. And I don't think those have any effect on the gameplay, but it is a hardcore skydiving, parachuting, and landing simulator. And it's detailed, man. But it had a pretty cool sensation. Like, you jump out of a plane, you're flying alongside your squad, you got to pull your ripcord at the same time, manage all your different meters and your angles and your speed. At some points, you have to fly through different archways and stuff like that. But it is cool. Once you pull the ripcord, you hold your PlayStation Move controllers up by your ears, and you're kind of pulling them up and down like you would the handles of your parachute to turn. as you manage your speed and try to find your way to the landing target. So it was cool, but it is really hard because it is a simulator. It's not like an arcade game. You really do have to slow down and look at your watch and all the different meters that you have to try to land. Then I made it over to the PlayStation, the Japanese PlayStation store, and got a few demos that were exclusive to them. There was a VR fighting game called Steel Combat. Oh boy, I gotta think of how to describe this into words. Okay, so think of a one-on-one fighter like Street Fighter, right? That camera angle. You with me?
Sure.
Okay. Now imagine the characters could go around you in a full 360-degree circle. You are right in the middle of a circle, but you are still looking at two fighters facing each other like you are in Street Fighter. So the VR comes into play because you can spin around in full 360 and watch these characters as they fight around you. So you are controlling one of the two mechs in this one-on-one fighting game. And I thought this was really cool, actually. It's kind of a weird thing to put into VR, but I'm glad it was something unique because almost everything else is a shooting gallery, it seems. But it's a fun little fighting game. So there's a free demo of that on the Japanese PlayStation Network, Steel Combat, if anybody wants to check that out.
So is it basically like a fighting game and you're like sitting in the middle of a circular TV?
Yes.
And that's kind of, yes. I mean, it's just a fighting game beyond the fact that you just kind of follow the characters instead of the camera following them. You are the camera.
Yes.
Okay.
You are playing it like Street Fighter.
Right, right. You are a character, but you're also your face of the camera. So.
Correct. But instead of pushing somebody to the corner, it will just keep circling around you in 360 degrees.
Okay.
It's cool, though. Some of the robots, some of them are like ninjas, and they can fly super fast. Some of them are big hulking characters, but the demo didn't have too many to choose from. But that was cool. If we get that, I'm probably going to pick that up. I don't know if that's in the States yet or not, but we certainly didn't have a free demo of it in the States, to my knowledge. These next two definitely were Japan store exclusive, but again, these are all totally free. So if anybody has a JPSN account and PSVR, check these out. The next one was Resident Evil Vendetta or Biohazard Vendetta Z Infected Experience. And this was a, I don't know, maybe a 5-minute VR movie. You go from the human stage into a zombie stage, and then you end up in a Chris Redfield and Leon gunfight as a zombie. I guess I won't spoil it from there, but it has some very cool camera work, and it was a very interesting movie for the VR. One of the more intense ones of things like this that I've seen. So that was cool. I'd recommend checking that out. And this last one was by far one of the coolest things I've ever done in VR. This is called Kizu Monogatari, which I guess translates to like Wound Story, I think is what they've localized this as. It's a series of movies. And I guess to celebrate the third movie coming out, they made a VR kind of sample version of one of them. And this is just a total kind of acid trip anime, crazy off the walls VR experience. You are in a movie theater with somebody next to you. And then as you can imagine, the walls just kind of melt around you and things go nuts. You guys need to come check this one out. This is one of the cooler things I've seen in VR. It was a very inspired short little movie that I really enjoyed. It was very cool artwork, very cool cinematography. It was a very cool experience. So, Kizu Monogatari VR. Totally free.
That's cool that you liked it, but it's what does it say about VR that the coolest thing you've done in VR so far has been a free movie off a Japanese online store?
Well, I mean, as far as a unique experience.
Yeah, I got you. It's just
for
it's
something just weird. That's like a static movie, this kind of, I can't describe this as 2D or 3D, if that gives you an idea of what they're doing here. This was a very inspired thing. It was a very cool.
Yeah, I'm not trying to take away from it. That's awesome. It's just that, I don't know, that kind of, to me, somewhat says a little bit to the state of VR at the moment. And like you say, you know, a lot of stuff, shooting galleries, people are still learning how to make games, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for something where you're not taking total control, where you're just moving your head.
Yeah.
This is the coolest sit-down movie experience I've seen.
Cool.
Not the best game, but as far as some of these like experiences, you know, like right, I think right. I talked about that Godzilla one a long time ago, the Resident Evil one. This one was, I think, the coolest. And I think just the 2D cartoon kind of anime art style worked really well because it is relatively low resolution. It still looked really clean and sharp. You know, it wasn't so overly detailed, I guess, because the simple drawing and characters are the base of everything, it ended up looking really clean. So anyways, that's it. I just had that run of VR stuff that I've been collecting. And, you know, once I connect the headset and everything, I spend a little time and kind of go through everything at once. But I think that's it. I don't think I really played anything else this week.
What are you buying?
I went to Toys R Us and picked up a couple World of Nintendo toys. I finally got that big Metroid. And then I also got the little Metroid. And I noticed at the bottom of the little Metroid, it has a hole for a stand. So I asked Shelby, because I assumed he had the same toy, if he had any recommendations for a stand for this thing. And Shelby, turns out yours had a stand. Mm-hmm. So I was panicked because I thought I threw mine away. Well, it turns out you and I had the same kind of World of Nintendo manufactured by Jack's Toys little mini Metroid, but yours is hard plastic and mine is squishy. So the hard plastic one comes with a stand and the squishy one doesn't, right?
Did you confirm that? I don't know. I'd never confirmed that. I didn't know what
I would like to confirm that. If anybody listening has that little, like, 2.5-inch Metroid with the squishy, you know, membrane, let me know if yours came with a stand, because if I threw mine away, I'm going to be super sad. I'll probably have to buy it again or find some kind of stand. And they also had a really cute Kirby plush that I ended up picking up. Most Kirby plushes don't look that good, but this one I thought was really well done, and I couldn't resist. So that's it, man. I'm not super prepared. I don't think I got anything else noteworthy. All right. That's it. Show me what you're up to, man. It's been a long time.
So in my absence, I finished Persona 5.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's a thing.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. It was, I think, right at 123 hours or something like that total time. So it was like 122.59. So we'll just call it 123. Probably sounds a couple, right. Probably maybe about an hour or some more than that, because it seemed like there was a couple times I died and like, well, guess I just lost that half hour progress.
Half hour, what? You say.
Yeah, well, I'm being very modest here. What can I say about Persona 5? Now that the smoke's kind of settled, and it's been probably a couple of weeks since I beat it, actually, at this point. I like it a lot. It's a good game. Very good game. Probably not my favorite Persona. I still think Persona 4 ranks a little higher in my mind. Like the characters and stuff like that in Persona 5. The story is cool, but I feel like the whole murder mystery story in Persona 4 was really cool. I like that a lot, versus the story in Persona 5, I've heard some people talking like it has a lot of parallels to real life events and stuff in Japan, which is really cool. And it certainly tells the story of just kind of like the whole generation gap in Japan. So it's very cool. Very well done. For everything cool that they did, it is not without folly that I feel like they maybe took some steps in wrong directions with some things.
Storytelling-wise or gameplay-wise?
Gameplay-wise. Storytelling-wise, I don't really want to critique it. I feel like that was all done pretty well. The whole thing is basically like as a heist movie, you know, so that's pretty cool. Okay. Yeah, the gameplay-wise, like having some characters that didn't have weaknesses and stuff like that, and just, let me put it this way. I feel like they have repeated some mistakes from Persona 3 that they had remedied in Persona 4, is kind of how I felt. Kind of after things were said and done. Ethan, I don't know if you feel the same way or not.
I rushed 3, took my time with 4? No, I had to rush 4, too.
No, you probably had to,
I had to rush all 3.
Yeah, you had to rush 5, because you wrote a review for it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Maybe you should go back and play, you should go back and play them all again. How do you rush 3? 265 floors of Tartarus. Whew.
Because I needed to get the 4 so I could get onto Arena.
Man, you were strapped for time. I really thought Mementos was going to have like be 265 floors deep. Glad it wasn't. Still pretty deep, though. Persona 5
is silent on that one.
Persona 5 is a really cool game. I like it a lot. It has received a lot of praise around the internet. I feel like maybe some of that praise is, I don't want to say misplaced, but I feel like a lot of the reviews and a lot of the people talking about the game are glowing, and I haven't heard a lot of people say bad things about it. And I do feel like there are some faults, but I don't think they are to the detriment of the game. I would still encourage people that are interested to play it. And for that matter, who the heck is sitting there still listening? Like, if you're going to play Persona 5, you probably have already played it and beat it before me, unless you just don't have a PS4 or system to play it on yet. I don't know. Games are expensive. People may still be working their way up to it. It's a cool game. I also played that Hitman game I've been waiting to play for so long.
Yay.
Yeah, that's cool. I beat through all the levels in that one. And had some goofy stuff happen, some here and there, some funny stories. There was one mission I went on where I had to had a hit on two people that I had to do. And in my wanderings around this mansion trying to find these people to murder, I found some expired cans of Chef Boyardee and kind of commenced to bash everybody in the face with those and steal their clothes and weapons until I killed the people I was supposed to kill. So, you know, deadliest weapon of them all is expired ravioli. Who knew?
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably use these three cans of expired spaghetti like 7 times. I would just throw them like people in the back of people's heads and take their clothes, or smash this one scientist in the face as he's complaining about his boss. Like, here, have some pasta with your wine kind of thing. Stuff his body in a box and take his clothes and walk past these two guards that are these two armed guards, rather, who are guarding this giant laboratory. They like, oh, we got to frisk you before you go in, sir. Like, all right, well, let me go drop my hatchet, my gun, my 3 butcher knives, and this crowbar over in this bush. But I'm going to keep these cans of Chef Boyardee because you don't think that's a weapon. It is, in fact, the deadliest weapon. So, you know.
Sounds about right, yeah.
It was pretty funny. But after doing everything once, I kind of went back and tried to maybe do some of the missions a second time to see some of the other stuff. And while some of the scripted event stuff are still quite funny, I don't know, it didn't have quite the same magic to it doing that stuff again, now that I kind of already done it once, so I may be done with that game, or maybe we'll try to find another way to play it. But, I mean, I kind of felt like by the time I had bought this game, I had seen, like, people, the Giant Bomb guys did a lot of playing of that game, and I watched all that, too. And hilarity ensued with their stuff, so I feel like I had my money's worth from this game before I even bought it. But that one's pretty cool. What else? I played Tekken 7.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm going to play Tekken 7 anymore.
But the Taiko.
So I got that Taiko stuff. I didn't use any of it.
And? What?
I mean, I was trying to play through the story mode stuff. And that
Why are
stuff,
we talking about Tekken 7 if you're not talking about the Taiko stuff?
Well, you know, you said you were going to buy Tekken 7, so I don't want to take away from your grand Taiko tale, you know? Tekken Taiko.
Is it permashelved?
Tale.
Are you done with it?
I Why might be. I might give it one more shot, but I'm not really impressed with it. So.
Can I borrow it?
You just want to see the Taiko stuff?
Yeah. Dude, and then Geese Howard comes out.
So I try to play through the story mode stuff, and like right away, like there's this narrator kind of narrating the whole story thing. And I don't know what it is about this guy's voice, but just when he talks, it just rubs me the wrong way to the point where I can't listen to what this guy's saying. I can't take any of it seriously. It just grates on me in a way that I've never really found anything else to do.
Or is it overly hardcore?
I feel like I'm not necessarily one to critique voice acting and stuff like that, because I don't feel like I'm a good judge of that kind of stuff. But at least for my money, this guy is just very monotone and seems very underwhelming in his delivery. But I don't know. I'm not.
It's English, right?
It is in English, yeah. Or at least the narration dude is. So
Is it the welcome or get ready for the next battle guy?
No, it's just some dude who is narrating the story. So there's like little story vignettes in between each fight. And kind of the overarching theme, it seemed like in the story mode, is a dude trying to research the Heihachi family.
Okay.
And this is this guy's, he's like some sort of reporter or something like that. He's like, oh, and I traveled to here to do this, to look and talk to this guy about this and kind of his whole thing. And I don't really know where the story's going, and I don't know if I'll ever know, because I kind of can't stand that guy. But even on top of that, like, I lost a lot. And I, while I'm very out of practice with Tekken, I am not unfamiliar with the Tekken franchise. I logged several hours.
Offline in the story mode you lost a lot?
Yeah, in the story mode. I think I played a couple matches versus just waiting for the story mode to finish installing, I guess, which was weird. It was one of those things where I put the disc in and it said it was ready to go. But then it was like, oh, the story mode's not finished going yet. Like, well, you're not ready to go, so I guess I'll play a couple rounds of versus till you're done doing whatever you're doing. And then those versus mode matches, I wasn't really feeling it. But I thought, well, I'm just out of practice. But kind of going through the story mode stuff, I got to where I was playing as Akuma. Because he's in this.
Yeah, how's that?
I don't know. I've never played Akuma in Street Fighter. So in,
what?
Yeah. Like, I do the... I can count on one hand the amount of times I've played Street Fighter in my life.
Okay, and, well, you've played as Ken or Ryu, right?
I don't think so. What? Maybe? Probably? I don't know. I know I've played as Chun-Li. I probably played as Guile at some point. Maybe? I don't know. Maybe not. Don't know. Point is, I got my butt kicked as Akuma like 9 times. And finally, I was like, okay, this is frustrating. And then I finally won, because it was like Akuma versus Heihachi. And then after I beat them, all these jack robots showed up. And then I got my butt kicked on that again. Like, okay, well, this is boring. I'm going to shut this off and come back to it later, because I'm a little frustrated. And I'm not going to play well as I'm frustrated. So I turned it back on, and lo and behold, it started me at the beginning of that mission. So I had to beat Heihachi as Akuma again. To which I lost 5 times again. I'm like, you know what? Let me just bump the difficulty down on this. I don't seem to be doing so hot. And then I still lost. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to shut this off and maybe not ever play it again.
And does Akuma play like a Tekken character, or does he play like a Street Fighter character? I haven't played Tekken 7.
I don't have enough reference to Street Fighter to know. I mean, he still does like the Hadouken thing. He can do the spinny kick thing. I don't know how to do it, but he did it in a cutscene. And I did at some point the big, like, what is it called when they just do the big, huge, twisty uppercut where they jump way up in the air? Shoryuken, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I did that accidentally one time. So I think he still does his moves. I don't necessarily know how they equate to how it's done in Street Fighter. But, like, more than anything else, just playing this game, it felt like, to me, like, it felt delayed. It felt like I would push a button... or I would do a move, and it just wouldn't happen right away. So I don't know what that was all about. Perhaps I am just extremely out of practice with Tekken. It didn't feel very snappy to me, and I don't know what that was about. I can't really explain it. More than anything, I lost a lot, and like if I can't beat it, I'm not going to keep playing it. So I might give that...
PS4 does have some input latency issues compared to Xbox One, which is surprising, but...
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think of Tekken necessarily as the most snappy or responsive game, but you shouldn't feel like your punches aren't happening when you hit the button.
Right, and that may just be because I was getting my butt kicked, and, I mean, if you're being juggled in Tekken, clearly you can't hit a button while you're flying through the air. I'm not 100% sure what it was. I don't know enough about fighting games to really kind of, in words, describe what was happening and how I felt it wasn't responding the way I expected it to. But I mean, what I did take away from it was I was getting my butt kicked, and that wasn't fun for me, and so I don't know if I'm going to play it anymore.
Well, maybe you just need that Taiko DLC, and that'll make everything better.
I mean, I got it. So, yeah, it looked pretty cool. Like, hey, you could have this life bar, and you can have Donjon floating next to your face, and you can basically wear this drum or something. I don't know. It seemed pretty crazy.
It reminded me of the Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown stuff, when we did all that character customization where you could have like a, you know, the Fantasy Zone ship fly next to your head, like a Genesis backpack. And
I thought about that, and I thought about kind of some of the custom old costume stuff they introduced with Tekken 5. That was when you were showing me that Virtua Fighter stuff. I'm like, yeah, this is like the Tekken 5 stuff. So there's definitely a history of having some cool customizable stuff, and Taiko is a Namco thing, so. But yeah,
Tekken Bowl comes out in maybe a week or two. I think pretty soon.
What does?
The Tekken Bowl, so maybe keep an eye out for that. I'm not sure if that's free or if that's part of like the season pass update. but that might be something to help you get more out of the game. I know you like the Tekken Bowl stuff, right?
Yeah, I played a lot of Tekken Bowl back in my day with Tekken Tag, but I don't know. Maybe Tekken's just not for me anymore. Not sure. I probably will give it one more shot at some point because, you know, I spent like $40 on that game. I would like to get something out of it, but maybe not. I don't know. Also tried to play some Future Tone, some Project Diva stuff, and I'm not going to play that anymore until I get a new TV. Well, here's the thing, like, and this may have something to do with the Tekken stuff as well. My TV is 10 years old at this point, and it's been dying for a while. I've been talking about getting a new one, and I need to start looking into it. I'm just really lazy and don't want to start looking into buying a new TV because it's a tremendous amount of work. Mm-hmm. But I was playing one night and just was losing and getting frustrated to the point where I started messing with the timing. And I adjusted the timing as far negative as it would go before I could start, you know, was doing well. And then I turned it on the next day and had to turn the timing all the way back to where I normally would put it. So I don't know if it was just me getting in my own head and being frustrated or if there's literally my TV is old and it's introducing some sort of latency.
It's a projection TV, right?
Yeah, it's a rear projection, 3LCD projection kind of thing, yeah. So I don't know if it's TV or not. This has happened a couple times, and sometimes just with playing Project Diva, I'll just play it too much, or I just won't be in the zone, and I'll just do bad, and when I start messing with the timing, I'm like, okay, maybe I should just walk away. But man, putting it all the way negative, and then coming back the next day and having to put it back to normal, that really was like, I don't know, this doesn't seem right. So, it could have been me just inside my own head, or, you know, maybe there's something going on. I'll find out. That's why I said I'm not going to play it anymore until I get a new TV. So, that will solve that problem. But, yeah, I don't know. Weird stuff going on with me there. But that is kind of all I can say without the merchant.
What are you buying?
So, go ahead.
Didn't you say somebody was complaining about Future Tone? You said,
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So I was just poking around on the internet, as I tend to do here and there, and accidentally stumbled across some video on YouTube of some guy, and the video was like entitled, Why You Shouldn't Support Future Tone DX, the physical release or whatever coming out. And I'm like, people complaining on the internet. Oh, those people, they'll do that. And it was like a 21-minute long video. And I'm like, what could this person possibly be complaining about for over 20 minutes about a physical release of Future Tone? And I'm like, I shouldn't click on this because it's just going to be somebody complaining. But I did because I guess I was bored. I don't know. And so it was like this whole thing of this guy complaining, to which he'd taken the whole script and written it in a Google Doc and posted in the comments of his video. And he, like, went to the trouble of, like, you know, interlacing some Persona 5 footage and stuff like that. There was some production thought put into this thing. But I don't know.
His argument?
It's not. I didn't feel his argument was that sound. But from what I gathered before I couldn't stand watching the video anymore, was that he feels like it's just basically an easy cash grab. And that they're and the people were quote unquote brainwashed into thinking there was more content being added to the game than actually is. And how he used Google Translate to translate the web page, a reliable way to translate things, I might add, as to what was actually being added to this release and how it was only going to be one song and one costume. Heck if I know what's actually being added, I don't really care. Because it's a physical release of a game that has 220-some songs. But he was complaining that it wasn't enough content to warrant another release, and therefore you shouldn't buy it, and that company should instead be focusing their efforts on making something more original, I guess.
Sometimes it takes cash grabs like this to finance the next thing,
though. You know, I don't know. I didn't feel like the guy's argument, and I'm not going to sit here and call the guy out. I was a person complaining on the internet, and it sounded like it was made like the week of the announcement. And I'm sure some more news has come to light since then. But I didn't feel like it was that great, especially the point to where he got. Where it's like, and you might notice I'm using Persona 5 footage in this video. That's because I feel like Persona 5 really embraces the idea of being an original idea that doesn't make cash grabs on its game and, you know, uses good footage and is loyal to its fans. And I'm like, oh, dude, Have you played? Do you know anything about the Persona games? I mean, clearly this video was made before an announcement that we may get to later in the news. But like Persona 3, Persona 3 Fest, P3P, Dancing All Night, Arena, Ultimax, Persona 4 P4, Golden.
Golden.
Every Persona game in the last few years has gotten multiple spinoffs and re-releases. Like, you know what? It's people complaining on the internet. I shouldn't have given it my time of day, and I should not have bothered you good people's time with this either. But sometimes my barriers go down, and my curiosity gets the better of me, and a little bit of internet hatred gets in, and I should just roll my eyes, water off a duck's back, walk away. I need that Tony, the engine rev sound effect right here, Tony. Come on.
Right. Boom.
Okay, well, that's what you get. I picked up Hey Pikmin during that Amazon madness that was going on the other week. I wasn't fortunate enough to get it for $6 like some people did, but I think I still got it for, like $25. So it's like $20 off or whatever of a brand new game. Mm-hmm. I still feel Weird. Quite fortunate that I got that.
Yeah.
Considering I came on the tail end. It was the only thing that I did get. Everything else, they had patched up the leaky parts of the ship by the time I'd poked around. So that's okay, though. Hey Pikmin was kind of the thing I was most interested in.
How is it?
I'm telling you not to buy it, not to have anything to do with the gameplay. Plus, I know you already have it, but because of the box art, and if you put that game on your shelf, your OCD-ness is going to get to you, and it's going to drive you crazy.
Yeah, Miitopia has the same problem. I know exactly what you're talking about. Too late. I already own both of them.
So, yeah, the spine has the a red block at the bottom that says Nintendo in the white letters and stuff like that. And doesn't Why necessarily do match across the bottom how the 3DS games think. It doesn't necessarily bother me, but I know people like Micah that very much want their shelves to be very consistent across the way. It may bother some people.
It's fine. PS3 is a hot mess, too. The Wii U is a hot mess with that kind of stuff.
As for the gameplay of Hey Pikmin, it's okay. The gameplay is pretty simplified. I think I sent a text message to y'all earlier this week saying this really feels like a mobile game. And I didn't really expand upon it that much by that, but I figure y'all might want to know now. The only buttons that you use, or at least that I've got to so far, is you can use left and right on the D-pad or A and Y on the face buttons to make Olimar go left and right. You can tap L and R to bring up a radar, I think. But other than that, everything is done on the touchscreen, to my knowledge, that I've reached so far.
Wait, so you don't have direct control over Olimar?
You can move him left and right, but that's it. You can move him left and right. You can tap a button on the touchscreen to turn on your jetpack, and he can kind of fly a little bit, but you can still only control his movement left and right.
I was going to say, how does he jump? Jetpack only?
Yeah, jetpack only. He'll climb up little humps and stuff like that. Maybe you can push up to go up vines. I guess you can because I'm going up and down vines. You must be able to do that to push up and down as well. But that's all the control you have over him. You tap on the screen and stuff like that to throw Pikmin. That's kind of it. That interface alone kind of feels a little bit mobile game-esque. And then on top of that, what really solidified it for me is when you get done with levels, you can go to this Pikmin Park thing where you can send the Pikmin out to investigate these areas to find more Sparklium for you, which is what you're trying to gather to fix your ship, basically, in this one. And that part really felt like a mobile game, because it was like, hey, send these units off to this thing, and after a certain amount of time, after an indiscriminate amount of time, they'll come back with more stuff, maybe. That felt very mobile game to me. I was just waiting for the giant button to say, push your best value for more Pikmin. And then, the third thing that really made it feel like a mobile game to me was, the tutorial was all like, oh, push this button, tap this, do this, and you can do this. Very much that mobile game tutorial of, do this one thing, we're going to walk you through the process one time kind of thing, so you learn how to do it, learn by doing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all that kind of put together, I wonder if this was maybe a mobile game at one time and they decided not to put it on mobile, or if it was maybe just people designing it, like, hey, let's make something like this. I don't know. But the similarities seem to be there. As for the gameplay itself, it's fun. It's okay. It doesn't seem very deep or very, I don't know, what I've played so far doesn't really seem to change it up that much. It seems it's really slow and not in a methodical way. It just seemed like there's a lot of stuff in the way, like the menus and stuff, like getting in and out of stuff takes a long time. You can't
loading time or just number of taps?
Both. Like you have to tap stuff to get through it because you can't like mash a face button to like get through text faster. You have to tap on the tap screen, the touch screen. Just like it'll fade to black and fade up in between and out of levels and back and forth between menus and all that stuff seems like to take a little longer than it should. To the point where I just find myself kind of tapping on the touchscreen, just trying to make it speed up, but it doesn't go anywhere. While you're playing levels for the first time, every now and then it seems like you'll like find new Pikmin. You'll come across a scene and there'll be a little cutscene of like the Pikmin running away from a bug and running back and forth and some cute little things. But just like that stuff just kind of keeps happening. And to my knowledge, you can't skip it the first time. You have to wait till you see it, till it's not new, and then you can skip it later. But yeah, that stuff just takes a long time, and there's a lot of like just walking back and forth between levels before you get to the next puzzle kind of thing where there's just kind of nothing happening, or you're just like, all right, I beat this puzzle, so I'm going to walk to the left till I get to the next thing and I'm going to throw these Pikmin. It seems pretty inconsistent about, at least to me, how you can throw the Pikmin. There have been times when I have thrown the Pikmin from the bottom screen up way high into the top screen to like gather something. And there were other times when I would try to do the same thing, but I couldn't throw the Pikmin out of the bottom screen. Now, the camera does seem to zoom in and out sometimes, but I don't necessarily think that that was the problem. It just seems like it seemed to me that it was just like, oh, if you can throw the Pikmin too high, you break this puzzle kind of thing. So I don't know. I've only played maybe I've played to the first sector. I've gotten into sector 2, and I don't know that I played the first level there, so I've played 6 levels in a boss fight is all I've played so far, so I certainly am not super into the game. I'm going to guess there's probably something like 6-7 worlds, sectors. I tried to play some of the amiibo levels because there are levels that are locked behind only unlockable with amiibo. Some of the levels seem to be locked behind the Hey Pikmin amiibo that came out alongside the game. And some
I
levels,
really like that amiibo, by the way.
It's a cool amiibo. Seems like other levels are locked behind the Olimar amiibo from the Smash Brothers line.
Oh, man.
And the reason I say that is when on the map screen of the first sector, there were 2 different amiibo spots. And it seemed like I tapped one amiibo and it opened one. I tapped the other amiibo and it opened the other. At one point, I seemed to remember it seemed like it showed the picture of that amiibo on that icon. But I never actually got to play those levels because after I tapped the amiibo, I turned off the system, like, I'll play those tomorrow. And I opened it up the next day, and it was like, oh, you need to tap the amiibo to unlock this. I'm like, no, I don't. Because I don't have that hockey puck thing, because I don't carry around a hockey puck and amiibo with me everywhere I go. It's the point of this being a portable console, so I just haven't played those levels. So that was a bit disappointing. Frustrating that I complained a while back about the whole amiibo functionality thing with Chibi Robo Ziplash. And figured they would probably do it again since this game kind of seems very similar in the veins of like, let's take something and make a 2D platformer out of it.
I still think it's strange doing that stuff on a portable game.
It's especially difficult for me since I don't have a new 3DS and I have to have that hockey puck with me everywhere I go and have to go through that whole process. It makes it a little less elegant, significantly so. So that's the thing with Hey Pikmin. I don't know. I'm not big on it right now. I might try playing a little more. What is there seems fun, but it seemed like there's too much fluff in the way. It's too much fluff in between the fun, I guess. So I don't know. Maybe I'll enjoy it more if I play it some more. I'll come back and maybe try that some more. But I've been talking for a while. So how about I just kick it over to you, Tony? What do you got?
Oh, let's see what I've been playing. Put a little bit more time into Breath of the Wild this week. Closing in on, I think, about 80 shrines now. Steadily getting about 10 a week, it seems like, over the last couple of weeks.
Are you using that map function to help? Or no, you don't have the DLC yet, so you're...
No, I haven't bought the DLC.
Okay.
I'm waiting till the story stuff comes out to see if it's worth $20, and then
I got you.
I'll pick it up. I've been playing Infinite Mini Golf on the Switch. Shannon and I talked about this last week, I think, or the week before that. on the PS4, and I've been playing the Switch version this week.
I didn't realize it came out on Switch, too.
It just came out on Switch this week.
Same game, though, right?
It's the exact same game. There's no difference.
That's cool.
And it plays...
Can you use the touchscreen on the Build-A-Course stuff?
I haven't actually tried about that. I forget that that screen is actually a touchscreen sometimes.
I wonder if there's any benefit to that, even if you can. I don't know.
I don't think so, because it's all icon-based, and you just click an icon, and it'll like rotate and things like that. So I don't think there's anything that benefits you using the touchscreen over the regular controls, if you even can.
Does the Switch version have any motion controls?
No.
Okay. No, so it's the same game. Okay.
It is the same game. I played through all of the courses on casual difficulty and normal difficulty. I played a little bit of some of the user-created courses. Some of them are really good. Some of them are a straight line with every single power-up lined up.
That sounds all right.
Until you get to the hole. So you never actually get to use the power-ups, because if you get a power-up and don't use it before you get another one, it disappears. So it's just, the icon is just cycling through the power-ups as fast as it possibly can.
Could be fun.
which
power-up is too many power-ups.
You could play a little bit of power-up roulette and just hope you get the right one. If, you know.
Like when you suck in two enemies on Kirby's Adventure and you get Mix.
Yeah, you can't mix the power. Some of the it would be interesting to combine some of those power ups to see what would happen, but you can't do that. So I've been playing through. I played through that quite a bit this week. Another game on Switch called Ultra Hyper Ball, which is a game that benefits from being a multiplayer game, but you can play it by yourself. The point of the game is that you are a kid who wants to join the Hyperball League in this world that he lives in. And Hyperball is basically bouncing a ball off of your head to see how high you can get it to go.
Does this game have an exclamation point in its title? And I'm going to guess the word hyper is like in all caps.
I don't know that it has an exclamation mark. Let me see.
Where it's ultra and hyper, and they didn't go with the exclamation point. Well, good to good that they showed some modesty.
It showed a little bit of restraint.
A little bit of restraint, yeah.
There is no exclamation mark.
All right, well, good on them. So you bounce this ball off your head into space? Like, how ultra do we get here?
I've not seen it get into space just yet. Okay. So it's not that high.
It's just soccer. It sounds like it's just somebody playing with a soccer ball.
Basically.
Okay.
Bouncing it off your head. But it looks more like, you know, a shuttlecock from badminton than it does a soccer ball. So
interesting.
And you wear a football helmet.
Okay.
I mean, if you're bouncing a ball up that high and it's hitting your head, you want to have some form of protection, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are different types of hyperball that you can play. Some of them, it's just bouncing it as high as you can. Some of it is to get a specific number of perfect hits in a period of time. There are motion controls. There are versions of it where you have to tilt the controller left and right to move your character while still bouncing the ball on your head. There's another one where you move left and right, but instead of tilting, you use the analog stick. You can do all of that single player, or you can do it co-op. So you can compete together, or you can compete against other players.
And this is an indie game on Switch?
It is an indie game on Switch.
No disrespect to the people that made this game, but it does sound like you're describing some WiiWare game from back in the day.
It sounds
a little, I don't know, I don't know how to say this without sounding mean, but a little underwhelming.
I mean, that playing it by myself, I found myself to be bored after, you know, a few minutes.
Okay.
I played it with a couple people here in the house, and that was fun for a little while. I don't know how often you would come back to Ultra Hyper Ball. especially once you've played through all the modes, because there is, you know, a progression to the story where, you know, you complete the goal in one, it unlocks the next level, and then you go on. And I think there's 20 levels in single player and 20 levels in multiplayer. But there's not a lot outside of that. It literally is just bouncing a ball off your head as many times as you can.
Yeah, it sounds like that's kind of the game's one thing. And I mean, how many variations on bouncing a ball can you get? It seemed like it's going to be a little boring after a while.
Unless you want to play to unless you want to play to unlock all of the unlockable characters. And I think there's 40 or 50 unlockable characters.
Do these characters do anything other than just having different heads?
No.
Okay.
It literally is.
It's not like, oh, you can save the ball once with this character. There's no like perks or anything to the effect.
No, cosmetic. It's just cosmetic.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's not an expensive game, but it's not a game I think you're going to play more than a few minutes, and then you're going to be like, okay, I've seen all that Ultra Hyper Ball has. To show me.
Okay. And that's it. Do you know how much Ultra Hyper Ball is?
I think it's $7, maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. And then lastly, we have been playing the last couple of days here in our house, Use Your Words on Switch, that just came out this week. It is another game sort of like Jackbox, where anybody that has an internet-connected device can play with you. Okay. And there's something on the screen that you're all looking at to do. And in this case, there are three or four different things that it just rotates between. And it's the same basically every time you play. It's just that the things they show you are different. And it'll be things like, it'll show you a clip of a movie, and it'll be some like Japanese, some foreign movie, so that you can't understand what they're saying. And it'll give you a subtitle, and then you have to complete the second half of that subtitle.
Okay.
And Shelby, then this is the game made by Brentalfloss that we saw at XPO last year, that party game he had
going.
Yeah.
So and then once everybody has entered in their subtitle, you vote on it, and if your subtitle gets a vote, then you get points. The person with the most points at the end of the game wins. And so there's that. There's another one called Fill in the Blank, where it just gives you a phrase, and the last bit of the phrase is left blank, and you have to fill that in. There's another one where you create a movie, not a movie headline, a newspaper headline. And then there's one other one, but it's escaping me right now as to what it is.
I can hear it escaping.
It just left, actually. But it is crazy fun. And, you know, if you have a bunch of people in your house that are playing and they're really creative and, you know, have a good sense of humor.
Right.
I think it's a game that you would have probably hours worth of fun.
Cool.
Playing. So, and then if you have that in Jackbox, you can go back and forth between the two, and they're all the same type of game. The thing I like about this one over Jackbox, it's a small thing, but it is a thing. And that's, once you've finished a round and the winner has been declared, in this one, you don't have to create a new room every single time. If you play again, it just tosses everybody back in, and you use the same room code over and over and over again.
That's cool. Yeah, that's one thing about Jackbox, when you get kicked out every time. It's a little annoying when you're trying to go through. It's not necessarily a deal breaker, but it'd be nice if there was just a checkbox like, hey, don't kick us out.
Yeah, we want to play again, use the same room. That's the one sort of minor gripe I have about the Jackbox, which this does really well.
Okay, cool.
So I highly recommend Use Your Words to anybody that has a group of people that want to play something together for a while. So, but that is all that I have been playing this week.
What are you buying?
Jake and I were out and about today because Jake got glasses, so he can see now. Which is a good thing.
Yeah, instantly improved vision should be at the top of your to-do list. Thank you, Brian Regan, for that joke.
Yes, and while we were waiting for his glasses to get made, we wandered around the mall and ended up in the Think Geek store. And I grabbed... It is a very dangerous place.
Most of the things in there, Tony, I want you... All right, Tony, you got to make a pact with me. The next thing out of your mouth better not be some ridiculous, dumb, like you plug in USB-powered disco ball thing.
I did not get a USB-powered disco ball
thing. Okay, good.
USB-powered rock.
Yes, it is. No, I perused the wall of Funko Pops because why not? They're there.
And man, is there a lot of them.
There are a lot of them.
You saw all the Doom Marine Funko Pops. Got it.
I looked at the Lord of the Rings ones, like, no, I'm not going to get a Funko Pop.
Why do they all have the same evil little beady eyes? Like, that's not even cute. I don't get the appeal.
I saw one today that did not have those beady eyes, though, Shelby.
Okay, well.
It's a Nazgul from Lord of the Rings, and it doesn't have a face.
That should have the beady eye. Oh, okay. Well, whatever.
It's just a hood with a blank spot where a face should be.
I get Nazgul and the thing from Harry Potter confused at this point. Like
they're the same thing. The chocolate, a Dementor and a Nazgul. I think it's the called, same thing. Yeah. But I did see a set of Uno cards that were Mario themed, and I picked those up.
All right, that's reasonable. I will not chastise you for that.
So we like to play Uno in our house.
Uno is a great game. Maybe one of the best.
And we have two Uno decks in our house. We have a regular one, and then we have a Tinkerbell one. And I really don't want to play with the Tinkerbell one if the regular one gets lost. So I grabbed some Mario Uno cards.
Oh, put all three of them together.
You could do that, except the Mario cards have a different back. I think the Tinkerbell ones do, too. So
doesn't matter.
I guess it's true. But the Mario Uno cards have a new card that the other ones don't have.
What? It's
a Mario power-up specific for this. And if you get the Mario Star power-up,
yeah.
If someone plays like a draw two or a draw four against you, you can immediately play that and make them draw two or draw four.
Okay.
I mean, that's it. That's all it does.
Oh. It doesn't. Okay. Well, that's as expected. That's what I figured it would do. I just figured it would make you invincible.
It would be cool if it like you play it and it just plays the music that you get when you have a Starman.
Yeah, but then it would be like a 2-inch thick card. It's kind of hard to have a poker face with that in your hand.
That's probably true. But that's it for me. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we will talk about the news. All right, guys, it's time for the news. And as Shelby, you were alluding to earlier, there are some announcements that some of you guys were, I think, pretty excited about.
What announcements could you be speaking of that have nothing to do with a YouTube person complaining about Project Diva being a cash cow and Persona 5 being... The dude even quoted lyrics from the song about the song trying to like... Ugh. Man.
Okay, well, Atlus announced three brand new Persona games this week. Persona 6, 7, and 8. No, that's not what.
Man, if only.
They're pulling a Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
No, Persona Q2 for the 3DS.
I feel like we can't joke about Kingdom Hearts or Lang is going to write us a very angry email again.
Too late.
It's already happened.
He's already got them typed up, ready to go. He just needs to click send.
No, Persona Q2 for the 3DS.
Yeah!
I still absolutely really need to play the first one.
I mean, you can do it in like 100 hours if you know what you're doing, or 150 if you want to do it twice. I really need to play that game a third time. So Persona Q2 is on the 3DS?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, awesome.
Wait, they confirmed that?
I thought they did.
I don't think they did.
Tony,
did
they not? You may be Yakuza 1 and 2 HD-ing us again here.
I mean, what other system is it going to be for?
I don't know. PlayStation 4?
That seems like an odd game to be on the PlayStation 4.
I mean, have all the Etrian Odyssey type games been for a handheld, probably DS and 3DS?
It has been. It's being confirmed on multiple sites that Persona Q2 is a 3DS game.
Okay. I got no beef with that. I just thought I heard somebody else say they didn't know what platform it was going to be on, so I thought it was still up in the air.
And 3 and that 5 is, Dancing are PS4 and Vita, right?
Wait, what are you talking about?
We haven't said those yet.
Oh.
X-ray on the Ansei. Ansei. Sorry. A.
So this is the Etrian Odyssey style RPG. If anybody doesn't know what Persona Q is.
I very much enjoyed Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth. So I would gladly play another one of those games for 150 hours over 9 months again.
There you go.
And then talk about it every weekend for another 2 hours.
I mean, I got to where I just said, I'm still playing the game. Nothing has happened. Moving on. I mean, what do you want from me?
What are you talking about? You had a whole episode about your spreadsheets.
Dude, those are some sick spreadsheets. I put a lot of work into those. You want to see those spreadsheets? I never showed them to you in person.
I don't think I want to see those.
Yeah, those are some good spreadsheets. Whatever.
You only count your in-game time when you account for all the time that game takes away from your life.
Oh yeah, that spreadsheet time. Most of that was out of game. I know sometimes.
When you account for your podcast time, edit time, spreadsheet time, those games are 400-hour commitments for you.
I mean, if you want me to literally add up the hours just in game time alone I've spent on the Persona franchise over the last few years, I could throw that number together for you pretty quick.
It rivals the Borderlands number.
I mean, it's
so what else was announced?
And then the other two games that were announced are both coming to PS4 and Vita. If you liked the previous Persona Dancing game, get ready to do it again.
And again.
Because Persona 3 Dancing Moon Knight and Persona 5 Dancing Star Knight both announced for PS4 and Vita.
I cannot tell you how many Persona 3 dancing memes Ethan has sent me in the days since this announcement. I did not realize the depths of the internet. Sometimes I wonder if Ethan has an RSS feed for these things. Sometimes it's just Izzy. I don't know.
I sent you one today, too.
Yeah, I know. They just keep coming. The internet doesn't stop when they got a meme.
So, yes, two new Persona dancing games.
And I'm just going to say it now. Inevitably, they're going to announce a Persona 5 Arena game. Look out for that. Like, I know that Arc System Works announced that, like, mashup game that's got a, like, Ruby and Persona characters and BlazBlue and Guilty Gear, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's got Persona 4 characters. Persona 5 characters might show up in there at some point. But I feel like even on top of that, there will be a dedicated Persona 5 arena fighting game. So,
well, yeah, the dude that made the four arena was already talking when before 5 came out. I was like, yeah, I want to make this game already.
Well, okay, so yeah, I feel like that's inevitably going to happen. Whether or not Persona 5 characters show up in that other game, that Arc Systems mashup game on the disc, or if they're DLC characters after Persona 5 Arena comes out, I don't know how that's going to work, but yeah.
It'll be like the end of Yu's story on there. You see Akira as a silhouette in the background for his next challenge.
Oh. Wait, what is that?
I don't know. I was just throwing that out there because Why not?
All right. Well, you know what? That's fine. One of the first memes Ethan sent to was like, oh boy, they're milking the Persona franchise again. And then under that was just a picture of a guy pouring milk all over himself because he won an F1 race. Like, okay. Like, yeah, cool. Like, the Persona music, the Persona games have awesome music. So those dancing games probably have pretty low overhead and pretty high return. So that makes sense. So yeah, I'm down. Like, sure, why not? I don't, like, if they keep doing this, it may wear a little thin, but I'm in for the moment, so.
I wonder what team is making these, because the people that made P4 Dan closed shop.
Dingo? They're all around?
They're no longer around.
Well, that's a bummer. I don't know, mm-hmm. But once I heard the announcement of the P3 Dancing Moon Knight thing, I'm like, oh, that's what Lotus Juice has been doing. Maybe that's why he wasn't in Persona 5. He was working on these games. Lotus Juice being the Japanese rapper hip-hop dude that did a lot of the soundtrack stuff for P3 and P4. And Persona 4 Dancing All Night. That guy's got a cool voice.
Yeah, I think right after this, I think it was Lang that said, can we now get a Persona 3 remake using these new assets? And I said only if it included Persona 3, Persona 3 Fez, and then a brand new story so that we could really confuse Micah.
Fez 2.
Man,
I don't know what's left for them to tell with that Persona 3 storyline. They could put Persona, well, having Persona and Persona 3 Fest in the same disc doesn't make a lot of sense, because Fest has Persona 3 just with like some style, some system improvements. Okay, you know what? I just realized I'm getting ready to dive deep down a Persona rabbit hole that nobody other than Ethan wants to follow me down, so I'm just going to bite my tongue.
Marty in there, man.
Yeah. I'm excited about these games, probably mostly Persona Q2, because I'm hoping that maybe that's the game that finally resolves a hanging thread from the Persona 3 storyline that I will not spoil for anyone. But the people in the know what I'm talking about. Wink. I have to say it because this is an audio form. You can't actually see me wink. What's odd is I didn't actually wink. I just said wink. So I don't know if my hood wink now. I don't know how that works.
You know, Tony, Atlas can't kill you if you keep getting spinoffs.
You should probably move on, Tony.
Let's just keep going down this Persona 3 rabbit hole.
Okay, no, so why is Metis not in Persona Q? See, everyone else was. Including people that may... Well, nope, don't talk. Better not say that.
All right, here we go. If you're interested in the Super NES Classic, Nintendo says that pre-orders will begin later this month. That's it. That's all they said. They didn't tell when. They just said it'll happen later this month.
So did we mention Persona 5 Dancing Star Knight?
We did. Coming to the SNES Classic, actually. No.
What?
You know, Persona 5 takes place 2 games after Persona 3.
Like 4 years after Persona 4. Persona's.
Do you think they'll put P4 Dan on PS4 now?
Maybe.
Make better sense than the Vita.
Ouch.
No, I mean, like. You know what? I'm not going to explain this. I got too many memes here to send Shelby.
There are so many memes! Oh my gosh! I need to, like, cut them all out and just hang them on a wall and then, like, put red thread and combine them all together and figure out what Persona Q2 is going to actually be about. There's some sort of method behind the madness.
There probably is.
You mentioned something just now, Tony, that we were supposed to be talking about. I've already forgotten what it was.
The Super Nintendo Classic.
That's why I forgot, because I don't want to talk about this. Okay.
There you go. That's all we're going to do. Nintendo says pre-orders will start later this month, but they didn't say when. So, that's it.
Amazon every second of every day.
Exactly.
You know what? I will say this. I feel as if this SNES stuff is getting borderline, if not textbook, exploitative at some point. Maybe that's just my feeling. Maybe that's just me being a little...
Getting?
I mean, it seems like it's on purpose.
We appreciate the overwhelming demand. What did they say? Something...
I don't know. And this is why I didn't... This is one reason I didn't buy an NES Mini. This is one reason why I didn't jump on the Walmart thing. Cause I just don't want to be a part of this, because it's just... I already got so many freaking Amiibo and all these other Nintendo things in my life that I'm just trying to do. I don't want to be a part of this NES, SNES, Super NES 64 Mini thing. I just don't, and that hasn't been announced, but I feel like it's an inevitability.
Inevitable.
You know, I just don't want to be a part of this, because it's just... I hope that Nintendo turns around with the Super Nintendo thing and they're readily available and they get a bunch out there. I'm not hopeful for that. I think Nintendo has proven time and again their inability, whether it be on purpose or just pure ineptness, that they can't make a supply line. Hey, I'm ranting like that dude on the YouTube video about Project Diva. I should shut up.
Well, now I worry that maybe the number they put out this year is realistic for the people that might actually want them, but now they've set this horrible precedent that maybe scalpers are just going to continue to buy as many as they can get their hands on, no matter what.
That's what I'm worried about. Like, no matter how many they make, just because of the stigma around this whole thing, they're just going to be swept up instantaneously, and it's still going to be the same problem, whether or not they make more or not. You know, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, they will make more, but I think the problem will still be as severe,
yeah,
because they'll just keep buying as many as they can to resell.
Now, whether that's inherently Nintendo's fault, I don't know. Some of the stuff like this, like not just saying, hey, here's what's going to be available, here's what it's going to do. And that may be out of their hands. Different retailers can have different systems. They don't necessarily, I don't think, have the power to say, hey, sell it at this time, at this rate, at this thing. They can do the MSRP, and that may be about all the power they have over that kind of thing. But I don't know. It seems like it could be handled better, but it hasn't even actually happened yet. That's the worst part about it, you know? We're complaining about something, and there's already been this many problems to something that hasn't even happened yet. That doesn't bode well for the situation.
We know the problems that are going to happen. So,
look forward to that, yeah.
Yep. Also, look forward to August 17th. You'll finally get to play Chicken Wiggle on the 3DS. Atui announced that this week.
Yay.
Looks pretty good.
It does look really cool. This is the new platformer from former Renegade Kid employee Jules Watsham. They announced this week the game will hit 3DS on the 17th. It will have the level editor, level creator, and you'll be able to share those levels with people online.
We need to ask Jules if Chicken Wiggle was his first choice or whether he could not come up with a title that sounded more like some sort of Wii shovelware title. You know, I wonder if he's deliberately doing that. Like the first time I heard that name, I thought, what is this WiiWare game on the list? What? Oh, Jules' game. Okay. That's cool. Why did he pick that name?
Well, because the characters are named Chicken and Wiggle.
That sounds adorable. And it seems like I remember talking to him about this at some point. I don't know. He hasn't been on the show in a long. Maybe not. Maybe I just remember talking to you and pretending you were Jules. I do that sometimes.
It's a chicken and a worm in a backpack, like Banjo-Kazooie.
It sounds
Banjo-Kazooie
cute.
Banjo-Kazooie meets Mutant Muds meets Mario Maker, kind of.
Yep.
There you go.
That's a good way to describe it. So, there you go.
$15.
Looks really fun.
Yep.
At no point do you shoot eggs. At no point is this game chicken shoot. That's just my mind. My mind connected the dots on that one.
Yeah, there will be no shooting chickens at all. You use the worm as a whip.
Shelby's right, though. There are at least three Wii shovelware games, physical games that start with chicken. I can't think of the third one. There's Chicken Blaster, Chicken Shoot. Dang it.
And Persona 5 Chicken.
Chicken Knight. It's going to have a KFC costume option. Oh, that actually would be pretty good. That'd be kind of like the Lawson costumes in P4 Dan.
There's that game on WiiWare called Chick Chick Boom, which is not chicken, but it's close.
All right, I need to stop the show for a second and say something very important to everyone.
Okay.
And when I say that, I'm talking just to Ethan, so you guys can just check out. Okay. Is the title P4 Dan, is the D-A-N short for dancing all night, or is that short for the first part of the word dancing? I need to know this, because what am I going to call P3 and P5?
It's P4 Dan dancing all night.
But what does D-A-N stand for? Can I call it P3
dancing
Dan?
Dancing all night.
It was short for dancing all night.
Crap. No. So what am I going to call Dancing Moon Knight?
P5D and P3D. There you go.
Why do we call it P4D?
Well, we will now.
Well, that's what I always wanted to call it until I kept hearing people say Dan, and I started calling it Dan.
Destroyed because they released these other two games now.
Yeah. Well, the acronym was destroyed when they said it was P4A. It was P4 the animation. Then they called it P4 Arena. Now it's P4A. Now I got to say P4 Annie. Annie? I don't know. Sony Annie? Sony Annie? I don't know how to say it.
And P3D sounds like a 3DS release of Persona 3, and that would just really confuse people.
And that's already got the portable on P3P. P3PDD. DDPPD.
Oh my gosh.
P3DDP Yoga. That's what we're going for.
You could do P4N. Then we got a problem with P Diddy. P3M for Moon and P5S for Star.
That sounds like Pokemon.
That's one of the memes he sent me. I was going to make that joke on the show. Like, oh, the memers already got to it. Of course they did. It's obvious. It's called Moon and Star. Of course somebody's going to Photoshop that with Pokemon stuff.
All right. There were also, in the continuing saga of new Switch announcements, there were a bunch of new announcements this week. Some of them are pretty big. One that I'm really interested in, nobody else on the show will care at all about, Dragon Quest. Real Farm Simulator.
Oh.
I'd play that.
Would you?
I will.
Or would you just buy it and never play it?
I'm going to play it. Ultra Chess will be out later this year. No release date for that, but if you like chess, you can get your
What makes this ultra?
I don't know.
The knight has a rocket.
Okay, check it out. There's chicken shoot, chicken shoot, chicken blaster, crazy chicken tails, and chicken riot. Chicken riot's the one I couldn't think of.
There's a lot of chicken games on the Wii.
Here's the
thing. How many other games start with chicken that don't exist on WiiWare? That's probably why, or not Wii games. That's why I made that connection.
These are physical retail releases for Wii, not even WiiWare.
They probably should be WiiWare. There's for a lot. I'm going to guess there's a lot of free room on that.
Then there's a chicken blaster bundle with a blaster hunting bundle.
There's a couple with a big buck hunter gun that works for like 360.
Big orange shotgun.
It does, actually, Shelby.
But does it work for a different system, or does it actually work for the Wii?
No. I think you just plug the Wii remote into it.
Put a Wii remote into it.
What was that chicken character on the GameCube?
Oh, jeez. It's what? The Sega game.
Billy Hatcher.
Billy Hatcher. That's what I'm thinking. Billy Hatcher.
That's a human, though.
Yeah. But he looked like a chicken.
There's multiple of them. Are they dressed up as chickens? I forget. Because there's a bunch of them. There's like a girl, and there's like the big guy. Now I got those chicken gizzard things on their heads. And he's rolling around eggs. Are you sure they're not chickens of some kind? Some sort of chicken humanoid? He's
definitely human.
Okay. They're just wearing chicken heads? That's not weird.
Back to the Switch announcements.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Minecraft Story Mode, the full season, will be out on August 22nd for Switch.
Is that the Telltale game?
That is the Telltale game.
Okay, so that's for somebody that's not super into Minecraft, I didn't know what the heck that was.
That is not an expansion for Minecraft.
I thought it was literally a story mode for Minecraft.
No, it is a completely separate thing. NBA 2K18 will be getting a release on the 19th on Switch. The September 19th date will be the digital version of the game. They will be releasing the physical version later in the year. So there's that.
Prepare for internet YouTube ranting videos.
Capcom announced a game this
week. Really? Capcom makes video games?
Capcom makes video games. They announced Resident Evil Revelations 1 and 2 will be coming to Switch.
Oh, cool. I've kind of been wanting to play those. Maybe this will finally be my chance.
Both games will be bundled together, but only the first game will be a physical release.
Lame.
You'll be getting a download code for Resident Evil Revelations 2.
Huh, that's weird.
Cheapskates. They pulled a Square with Final Fantasy HD on Vita.
So
the 10 and 10-2 combo pack was just like that.
I think this is it?
Yeah, 10 and 10-2 on Vita anyways. I don't know about PS4.
I almost bought that several times. Huh, okay. Well, good to know.
2 is download only.
I think this is a $40 bundle for both games. Revelations 2 will have all of the DLC that was originally released not on the disc, but in the game.
Revelations has come a long way from the 3DS, man. It's coming on PS4 and Xbox One, too.
Yeah.
I think that game up pretty well.
I wonder how that happens. Like, I wonder if they're like, hey, we're going to do this, and then somewhere late in the process, like, hey, we can actually tack the other game onto it, or if that's from the ground up. Like, the initial decision is, like, we're going to put one on the disc and one not. Like, why not just release it all digital on the store? Like, that's got to be a weird set of circumstances to lead to that outcome, right?
This is just cost. The cartridge costs so much money. If it was a disc, they wouldn't care at all. They would totally put both on a disc.
But
the Switch cartridges are so expensive, they're not going to pay for it.
Mm, okay.
That's absolutely why.
They could get a big enough cartridge to put both of them on it.
Oh, yeah. They just don't want to pay for it.
It would have been more money. you'd probably be paying $60 for it on Switch.
Yeah, and
do you remember when they said Revelations 1 on 3DS was going to be like a $60 game? They originally said that. We talked about it on the show. It didn't launch at that price, but they said it was so big.
$40 game when it launched.
Yeah, they said it was going to be a abnormally priced game. But that's why they're doing a show, is just to cut costs. They don't want to make such a
I guess that makes sense. Cartridge stuff is more expensive than disc. That's unfortunate, though, that you would have to download it. I mean, it is what it is, I guess. What are you going to do?
Yeah. This came with the announcement that Revelations 1 would be coming to the PS4 and the Xbox One, because 2 is already on both of those systems. But Switch will be getting both of them. And then earlier today, while we were recording the show, actually, I was scrolling through Twitter a little bit, and Square Enix announced that Dragon Quest Builders 2 will be coming.
What?
PS4 and Switch.
What? They announced DQ Builders 2 today?
Yep.
Nice.
Do you know anything about it? What's new? What's different?
You will be able to explore underwater now, so your character won't die if they go in the water.
All right.
And multiplayer.
Okay, go on.
So, those were the two big.
That's it. That's all he's got.
That's really it. I mean, it looks like more Dragon Quest Builders. There's a dog that follows you around now. He's adorable.
Right. Sold.
And then you'll be able to play multiplayer.
That's how you get Mindy. That's how you get Mindy in. There's a dog, Mindy. Okay.
Co-op dog action.
Does the second player get to be the dog?
No, I think the second player is another human.
Ah,
the dog. The dog in DQ11 looks real goofy. Have you seen him, Tony?
Yeah.
He looks really strange.
So I would like to see maybe Dragon Quest Builders 1 come to Switch, but I'll take this. This one will not be coming to Vita. It will be PS4 and Switch.
Speaking of Vita, I'm sitting here staring at my Vita games on the shelf. There's a lot of Japanese games over there, I'm just not realizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, while we're on the subject.
So, there you go. Those are the big announcements for Switch games that have been announced this week. And then a couple of studios announced some pretty good sales numbers for Switch that they were excited about. Capcom is one of them.
Huh. Did that many people want to play Way of the Hado?
Announced
Hado. Which is it? Crueler? Crueler? What? I don't know. Way of the Crueler?
Hado. Way of the Hado. Capcom announced that 500,000 units of Ultra Street Fighter 2 have been sold worldwide.
That many people bought? Oh wait, which one? That's the one. That's the okay. That's the not Switch the hot. One. That's not one with the Balrog. No, what's the dude? The Buffalo guy, Bison coming at you. I don't know about Street Fighter. We've established this.
Ultra Street Fighter 2 is the one that has Way of the Hado.
So that's the one you're talking about. 500,000 copies of that.
500,000 copies of that Switch game have been sold.
That seems high. Was the Street Fighter part in that good? I don't know.
That's it's one Street in
six
Fighter.
Switches. How many Switches are there? 2.5 million, 6 million? It's like 1 in 6, right?
It's
pretty good.
Pretty good numbers so far. I mean, yeah, a lot of people bought Street Fighter on Switch.
All right. Well, okay. Cool.
Despite that, and even with the announcement of Resident Evil Revelations, Capcom says they are still evaluating their stance on Switch going forward.
They said Monster Hunter Double Cross will dictate the future of that series on the system.
Which I thought that wasn't coming out. Oh, it's in Japan. Okay.
Right, Japan. Right. So A, it's not being sold worldwide, and B, this, you know, the Switch doesn't have that many units out yet just because they haven't made enough and it hasn't been very long.
Yeah, but every single person in Japan that owns a Switch is going to buy Monster Hunter.
That's probably true, but I just don't think that's fair. I don't know.
It does seem like they're kind of handicapping that if they're hanging all that on there, almost as if they're trying to get that system off of that platform. I don't know. I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist here.
No, I think with this Street Fighter stuff and Monster Hunter potentially, I think it's going to be a pretty good seller. I think we'll see Capcom doing something for Switch moving forward.
Yeah.
I would really like to see them bring the two games they've had recently with the Afternoon Collection, and then the Mega Man Collection would come to Switch. But
I would love to see like yeah, like, give me, like, Legacy Collection 1 and 2 on one card, or, like, put all the Game Boy games on there. Like, why is Mega Man and Bass not on any of those collections? That doesn't make any sense to me. Some call it Mega Man 9.
It's also frustrating that Legacy Collection 2 isn't coming out on 3DS when the first one did.
Yeah. Because I'd really like to play Mega Man 9 again.
I just kind of want everything on my Switch.
I do too. I mean, I think by the time the Switch is done, every single game that came out on Wii U will be out on Switch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that obviously it's not going to be the case, but I would not be surprised.
We're almost there, so it would not surprise me. Like, any big tentpole Nintendo releases, I imagine, will make that jump, as well as anything third-party that they can justify the cost for, because they will probably make more money on the Switch than they did on the Wii U. Just sheer, like, install base-wise.
Awesome. Hello Kitty Cruisers confirmed.
Oh, by the way, I've learned something new on the Hello Kitty Cruisers front, but actually not has anything to do with Hello Kitty Cruiser except for with us. You know how the boats squeal on the water?
Uh-huh.
I was watching the giant bomb people play Mario Sunshine, and apparently the squids squeal, like, when they're on the land, too, when you're doing some of the races in that game. So maybe that's where Hello Kitty got it.
Really?
Yeah. Go back and play Mario Sunshine again, or just wait for it to inevitably be re-released on Switch. I think they'll do that, right? They'll probably do that.
No.
They did it with Wind Waker. Is Mario Sunshine that divisive that they wouldn't risk re-releasing that?
I bet we eventually see a re-release in some form.
I would kind of like them to, because I'm interested in playing that game. The jetpack stuff always looked fun to me. What I played of it, I liked, but the camera seems to be a universal complaint with people.
You haven't played Sunshine?
Not beyond the demos or whatever I played of it, like in Walmart and or Kmart or whatever when the GameCube was new. I own Sunshine.
Haters gonna hate, but I really like that game.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Yeah, Andrew keeps asking me to buy it like every other week. He's like, can we get that Mario Sunshine game? No. If it comes to Switch, I would pick it up. Whether we get like a virtual console GameCube release or they do like an HD remaster of the game, I would not be surprised.
I kind of suspect an HD remaster at some point, kind of like they did with Wind Waker, but I don't know. That game may be too divisive. Don't know.
I don't know. I guess time will tell. And then the last one, Inti Creates this week announced that Blaster Master Zero has sold more than 100,000 units. So
that's not enough. People need to go buy that game.
They were pretty happy about that, but still need to pick it up.
Cute wallpaper, original art that they made to celebrate that, which was cool. And Shovel Knight is free in that right now, by the way.
I was just getting ready to say that. Shovel Knight, go lock that DLC in if you're at all interested about Blaster Master Zero.
Don't even have to have the game. Just go get it.
No, it downloads an icon to your system, but you can just delete that icon and the stuff is still attached to your account. So,
Good.
It gives you a tile like the game?
Yeah, they're always there. That's been bugging me.
Yeah, so you can go in and delete those and it'll still have all of that stuff attached to your account. So you could re-download the DLC if you do end up buying the game.
Okay, because I never know. Well, I plan on picking up at some point. I've had a lot of other handheld stuff to play, so it's on my list of stuff to buy at some point.
It's very good.
That is it for the news, so let's move on to listener feedback. And our first one this week comes from Sam via Facebook, who wants to know, what is the shortest amount of time we spent at one job, and what was that job?
I worked a job for one day one time.
Really?
Yeah. Like an actual professional engineering job.
Voluntarily?
Yeah, I quit after one day. So the thing was, like, and through the whole interview process, something didn't seem right to me, but I thought, oh, I'm just being paranoid. But sure enough, my first day on the job, some of the other employees were like, yo, here's all the stuff that they lied to you about in the interview process. Here's all the stuff they probably told you that's not right. And I was like, yeah, sure enough. So I quit saying, like, yo, I feel lied to. I'm not going to work this job.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to sound like you found dead bodies in your desk or something.
No, but it was, I definitely felt very betrayed very quickly.
Let's see. I think for me, I think the shortest amount of time I spent at a job was like 2 weeks, and that was at a security company. It was an overnight job, and I was sitting in front of a monitor waiting for people's alarms to go off so that I could, you know, notify the police. And I was like, I don't want to do this job.
Then you're worried about a giant stuffed animal coming up to you.
Pretty much.
Five Nights at Freddy's style, yeah.
Ethan? I think I did 2 weeks as the manager at Radio Shack here when it was being remodeled.
Interesting.
Yeah. Got fired from that one.
Oh. Do volunteer jobs count?
I think it's a job you have to have been getting paid for.
Something goes on your resume or something.
The job I just mentioned didn't go on my resume for obvious reasons.
Mine neither did mine. We weren't actually Radio Shack when we opened. Or weren't open, so.
I'm not going to put on my resume. I worked this job one day. My accomplishments during that time were this.
Filling out my paperwork.
Filling out my paperwork, cleaning off my phone.
And then
drinking
quitting.
The water.
Yeah, that was a very stressful time.
I was a seasonal employee at Toys R Us in the video game department, formerly known as R Zone. That was pretty cool. It was around the launch of the GameCube and Xbox. PS2 and Dreamcast were still on the shelves. N64 was still on the shelves.
All those Hey Pikmin Hello 64s. Hello 64s, N64s.
Hello Pikachu, not Hey Pikmin.
Well, hey. Whew, I'm getting so many things confused in that.
Hey Pikachu.
Hey Pikachu, N64s.
But I don't think that counts because after a couple months, I went back and worked in the summer and then did that kind of summer holiday run for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's by design. I mean, a temporary thing.
I don't know. I guess that's my answer, though. Overall, that was probably still my shortest run of employment was Toys R Us video game department. But man, what an awesome time to work there.
There you go.
Was that the time you just threw Genesis? No, you were working at Vintage and threw the cartridges on top of Toys R Us. Never mind.
That didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about. But we had Genesis games new at Toys R Us when I was working there. That was crazy. Still finding like Vector Man, Castlevania Bloodlines new in the storage room. And this was like 2001.
Our last one comes from Mike via Facebook, who wants to know, are any of us enjoying Splatfest?
No, I don't have Splatoon 2 yet. I don't know if I'm going to get it or not. I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's enough single player stuff in there for me to have fun with.
I am not playing it.
I'm not playing. It's probably over by the time everybody hears this, but I hope Team Ketchup won.
I don't own it.
It's ketchup and mayonnaise? That's a weird thing.
It's the first time they had red ink.
Yeah.
Is it ketchup and mayonnaise? Is that more of a thing in Japan than ketchup and mustard? I don't know. Micah?
Probably.
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, they definitely have mustard, but mayonnaise is way more popular.
Yeah, they did have...
Mayonnaise is really different.
They did have special ink colors for this Splatfest. You had red and white ink instead of some of the other colors.
That's fitting.
So, yep. There you go. I'm not playing the game. None of us, it sounds like, are playing the game at all. So, there you go. That is going to be the show for this week, guys. So if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show, you can send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube. Check out the stuff we've got. Hold on. Let's try that again.
Nope. Keep going.
Yeah.
Head on over to YouTube.
I'm not changing that in the editing.
And check out the stuff we got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show this week.
Good job, Tony.
Thank you. And thank you, Micah, for being on the show.
Good times, Tony.
And Shelby, as always, thank you for hosting this craziness.
Yeah. It was a thing about me. So I feel like I complained a lot, mostly complaining about other people complaining, which I guess that's the internet. Way to go, me.
That's what you do, Shelby. We're used to it.
Oh.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
Ethan has sent me 3 more Persona memes in the time we've been having the conversation.
Ethan, stop.